If you want to save money on your trading card purchases, we have a promo link over at 50cards.shop. Enter the promo code at night to get 5% off your order.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nexus at Night, your weekly sort of Vanguard podcast. And I hope you had a good Christmas, and we're recording this the weekend of New Year's, the night before my bachelor party, which is pretty fun. The main piece of news to cover after I say I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rupier.
I completely forgot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. They don't need to know our names.
Sure, yeah.
They should know by now. It's on the screen.
They should know by now. I mean, if they're just listening, then...
Actually, my name's not on the screen. It's instead Wiggums.
Yeah, because his name's Beerus Rudicus.
That's true.
So the main piece of news is that in Italian Vanguard, which we've done an episode on before, where they're essentially, 5 years behind us?
Yeah.
Yeah, give or
take.
Like,
still mid-G-era.
Yeah. They're in the middle of G-era, and Italian Vanguard has announced that they can use Rideline now.
What? What do you mean?
Yeah. So you know how in Standard, you have 0, 1, 2, 3 in a Rideline that you discard to ride?
Mm-hmm.
The ride deck.
And they just have that in G-format?
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like that thing. You know when restaurants are not franchised, so they just do whatever the fuck they want?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. Where, it's like a Hardee's or something, but not franchised. They just send to do whatever. And you're like, why does this Hardee's have this? I'm like, oh, we're not franchised. You're like, all right.
That's a good metaphor.
It's just like, yeah. Just vibing. Bushiro's not controlling this, so we just kind of do whatever the fuck we want. You're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And a lot of people are excited about it, not because there's a chance that Boucher is going to be like, oh, they're going to do it, we're going to do it too. It's not going to happen in premium all of a sudden, but it has definitely captured a lot of people's imaginations, because that's one of the things that set Standard apart from V and premium was the ride deck. And then Italy's just like, we'll just have it there.
It's going to be miserable in V, though.
Why? Oh, just because there's so much good write up.
There's things you'd prefer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see.
We had prototypes for ride lines where they had a bunch of Vanguard only units that were grades 1 and 2.
Yeah. V Luard, but you have a ride deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or either that or just grade ones that had a rear guard ability and then a pretty solid Vanguard ability, because you're like, oh, I hope I ride this. On hit, draw a card on Vanguard or whatever.
My question would be, are there any going to be decks that get significantly better because of the existence of a ride deck? Are there decks that get a lot better just by being able to hit, guaranteed hit things 1, 2, 3?
Its name is Riviere, and it's coming for your ass.
That's true. Riviere was pretty good this year, though, wasn't it?
I mean, in G-era, that deck sucked.
Oh, that's true. Hold on, you're right.
I mean, once they start getting
further
down the line.
Yeah.
Riviere got a stride at some point, right? I'm not high.
Yeah, but it sucks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it was the Legion that was all right.
Yeah. She had a Legion that, restood. The stride was, I have to go see what the stride does again.
I don't remember. I just remember she had one, I think.
Yeah, she does. It was
I just remember
choose same number of cards, number of cards and souls, Riviere in their card name, get 5k, and then if you have 3 or more face up and get draw a card and gets 10k and a crit, this card sucks.
Yeah, that card's trash. Alright, so they can get Riviere in V and be it'd be funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they could do the ride skip thing.
What I meant in G, are there any
The thing is I'm pretty sure the ride skips are rear guard effects, aren't they?
Yeah, you need the they're
hand effects.
Yeah, but it's just one less piece to worry about, because you're like, oh, I have to ride this and have this in hand. Now that's taken care of every time. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of focusing in on that because I lost to that during BCS. after beating it earlier in the same BCS. But I think it's funny that the way they showed everybody was it's like some Royal Paladin starter that I think just calls a two from deck or something. The vanilla Little Sage Marin, the original Blaster Blade, and then one of the Alfred grade threes. And then it's Adesso Portre, Convocare, Sembra la tua unita perafrita. Like, it's just like, now you can ride whatever unit you want. And they're making it sound so cutesy. Like, eh? That's pretty cool. My Italian was perfect, and you know it. So, I think in G, the main thing that people were, like, worried about was just riding their preferred grade three. So,
yeah.
It's probably fine then.
Certain number of less non games. I'm just wonder if they're like, I just kind of like wondered to myself if there's anything that's like kind of becomes nutty.
Yeah.
I guess my eye would be on Grand Blue.
Probably.
But Grand Blue is already good, so whatever.
Mm-hmm, like consistent access to milling, but also like Night Rose was already a good deck.
Well, just always specific access to certain cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You can guarantee access to a certain grade one, grade two.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, especially for Grand Blue, where like in that era of the game, your grade ones and twos didn't do all that much on Vanguard ish. Mm-hmm. So being able to put things that you now can guarantee go in drop zone via Soul Blasting.
Also funny if you guarantee a 10k write up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, honestly, like Giera might not be unjustifiable to just be running vanillas on your ride deck, because a lot of decks just like didn't have things to do on Vanguard and G.
Mm-hmm. Late Giera, they started leaning into it. Like the best example I can think of is the Brave grade two, the guy with the swords, where it's like when he attacks, if you have a Brave Vanguard and you're in Brave, counterblast, search something with Brave. So, like, if he's on Vanguard Circle, he can do that. But that was, like, you know, late G era, as opposed to where are they right now, like, post-PB Diablo or something? Or
I think Tachikaze would be a lot less fun with the ride deck, though.
Why?
Because part of the fun of playing G-Tachis was just, like, playing a bunch of playable grade 3s, and whichever one you rode, you're like, this is pretty good. This is fun. Like, wasn't if you're it on like Quake, you're like, screw it, I'm good. If you're on Tyranno Legend, it wasn't ideal, but it was playable.
Yeah, that's true. Because, like, you wanted the Gaia, but...
Yeah, it was really funny if your opponent was, like, miswriting, and you were on Tyranno Legend, you just started... you just limit bro. You're like, hey, man, I'll do what I have to do.
Oh, yeah, because they had that starter that was like, when it dies, called Tyranno Legend from the deck.
Right? No, let me just ride the thing.
Yeah.
I had to just ride it. No, because it calls it. The starter calls it.
Right.
So I'm talking about actually just riding the damn thing.
Oh, wait, never mind. That's happened to me a couple of times with Tetra Drive.
You just do it sometimes. You just do it to them.
I'm trying to think of like it's been so long with the V era stuff just in your grade one and two lineup that I'm trying to remember Blade Wings back then. Nothing really important in the early
all game. Right, let's look at winner deck recipes from
oh back my in god day. Fine, let's do that.
Look, all I'm saying is gaining 10k in a crit is not bad sometimes.
No, it's not, especially back then. Or now, or
I gotta retire three ancient dragons. Whatever, who cares?
Okay, let's go to like 2015. Was this like in the depth?
But that was part of the fun. It's just kind of Tachi's just writing some shit and being like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
This was around GBT. No, this is when the Legend deck came out. So people were still playing Revengers at this time. Jesus Christ.
When you say the Legend deck, you mean the Shadow one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, people didn't stop for a long time.
Yeah, no, Revengers were around for fucking ever. Holy shit.
They never really go away, because, like, they're around forever, they like, fall off near the end of G, then V starts, and they come back, and you're like, okay, whatever. Okay, let's see. It's fine. So what's
we still had 8-card G Zone in 2016.
Oh my god. Yeah, I remember that. That was pre G guards, right?
Yeah.
And then once they're like, okay, everyone gets G guards.
Yeah, it's just like 2016. We still had 8-card G zones. Holy sh! I was like not around for this, and also people were already playing Freeze Ray Messiah that far.
Yeah. Okay. So that far back when the Legend deck dropped, everybody it was literally just like PB Diablo was the devil.
Yeah.
No pun intended, right? But because there was no G guards back then. And they were like, all right, if I can wipe your board, it's 10k and a crit and lights out.
Yep.
And that's it. There's no Sanctitude. There's no G guards, like I said. You just die. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And they could do that. They had the ability to just blow your stuff up. Even if you went out of your way to like, all right, I filled all 5 slots, to like, I can do 5 retires this turn. Easy. Like, great, cool. So out here in the West, people got a little excited with like, oh, what if Bushiroad brings us to premium? They probably won't, but the implication is kind of neat. I have thought about doing a series where we like specifically try and build our decks with a ride deck in premium and play against each other, like do another triangle meta episode. But
see, I think like modern premium that would be hampered by the fact that you could just play a Crest deck.
Yeah, like just do the Asleep Messiah mm-hmm. and get the one. Yeah.
Also even... the history strides, because like a lot of people just play like the G era striders as tech options
mm-hmm.
to like supplement the strategy. So being able to just like shove it in your ride deck, always get it first stride, is like not terrible.
Yeah.
Like if you want it, you have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that definitely like the idea I had, if they wanted to implement ride deck in premium, was you can only use overdress cards to do that. But then what people would probably do would just go 0-1-2 and then just ride whatever they want from hand for mm-hmm. 3. So they still get their imaginary gift, they still get their history stride. Whatever it is that that's going on.
See, the other compromise that I saw was you're only allowed to put vanilla units into the ride deck, so that basically it becomes an alternative to G-assisting.
Hmm. Okay.
So, you know, you have these vanilla cards that do nothing, don't really give you a benefit. And so you're incentivized to just play cards with actual effects. But if you just completely brick instead of G-assisting, which can fail, ask us how we know.
How do we know that?
Definitely didn't happen to both of us at BCS.
Yeah, you're telling me.
But yeah, instead of like G-assisting, which can fail, and you're just like losing a bunch of card advantage, you can just like take the option to ride a vanilla unit. So that you don't gain like a huge benefit from having the ride deck, but you're not just like out of the game, especially now with like the different stride rules, where if you're already a grade 3, you can just stride, and with history strides where you can just do that anyways. Mm-hmm. Like imagine just being grade locked at 1, your opponent rides up, strides, and just annihilates you, right?
Mm-hmm. Would you still keep a 3 in the ride deck just to...
I mean,
yeah, why not?
Yeah,
like, even if it's a vanilla, it seems like
such. I mean, the alternative is riding a heel guard.
Good point. I usually make a point of like using my heel guards a to like, because I'm already behind, and b to get them out of my hand. So if, like, you can at least try and fish for the A grade 3 of choosing. But. Yeah, I just love Matt's metaphor. We're not a franchise. We can do whatever we want. Is that a thing with fast food? I thought to get the like branding and their like supply of
There's
foodstuffs.
It's not that simple because it never is.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like in order to like, open, you have to be franchised.
Something like there's shenanigans afoot.
Okay.
Yeah, there's things that like share the like have the branding but aren't answering to the same forces.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
It's Italy's house rules, and I love it. Like,
yeah, it's pretty good.
I appreciate the rebellious spirit. Like, example, my locals for premium, the house rule is no OT.
Sounds like a great rule.
If you forget and your OT is in there, it just gets treated as a vanilla crit. So
simple enough.
Pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, people love it, and I think that's awesome. And I'm curious to see, like, especially now that Bushiroad has made it so that whoever wins the dice roll gets to choose instead of you being stuck going first. And what was the other thing that they...
other important thing was 50-card main deck.
50-card main deck. Thank you. Yeah. So, like, maybe that one not so much. But the dice roll thing, I think for a lot of people outside of, like, regionals, that was always kind of just done anyway. You won the die roll. Either being left over from, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! And all the other games, or just people thinking it was stupid and being like, well, I want to go second, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like. I'm curious for the listeners out there, do you... Have your locals ever come up with like a house rule? And if so, what is it to put it in the comments section down below on this here YouTube? So yeah.
I don't think I've ever had like a house rule tournament for a card game that I've played. Cause it's mostly been like Weiss Magic otherwise. So mm-hmm.
Those are well-designed games, though.
Magic players with Weiss, well-designed?
Okay. The other one is well-designed.
Surely you jest.
Yeah.
I mean, I have had, like, side tournaments where we're all playing, like, a deck that all that every card has a character, I guess, single character on it.
Okay, that's pretty fun.
Miku was banned for this event, for obvious.
Is she broken or something?
Well, her sets are, like, only her. Or, I like, see. 90% her or some shit.
Gotcha.
There are other Vocaloids, but you know, like three people care, so
can't say
if you're one of those three people, get owned.
Hi.
Yeah. So Miku was banned for that. for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because Miku has a lot of cards. A lot.
Is it like the Bermuda Triangle of Weiss?
No. So Weiss, imagine every clan were like Bermuda Triangle. That's Weiss.
Okay. That sounds either good or terrible.
It means you only have to buy the sets of shit you care about, right? But like,
oh, okay. That's what you mean by.
Yeah. But like Miku has like a ton of PRs, but also like a bunch of small sets and also a bunch of foils. It's weird.
Imagine she's Shadow Paladin or Draconic Overlord.
Yeah. That's pretty on brand then.
Yeah. But yeah. There used to be I'm not sure if they're still making a ton of Miku stuff because I haven't paid attention to Weiss in a hot minute. But yeah, at the time, like, you know, this is back when like Nisekoi was new, so it's a long time ago now. Yeah, it was Nisekoi
saying a bunch of words and Atlas does not understand any of them.
I'm trying, okay.
Anyone who's played Weiss long enough probably is familiar with Nisekoi. Or because if you're familiar with the Weiss, you're probably familiar with anime and you're aware of that Nisekoi exists, which is a harem anime. But it doesn't matter.
Like imagine explaining Weiss to somebody and they're like, okay, so basically you take anime NFTs and play them against each other.
I mean, something like that.
Yeah. I interrupted you, though. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Anyway,
if we had AI generated artwork for Weiss, that would imply there was original artwork being made.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. So yeah, this being the last episode of the year, I don't know if we did this last year. Maybe we should start doing this for end of the year episodes. But what is your favorite and least favorite thing to come out of Vanguard in the year of 2023?
2020. I mean, it's hard to think of like positive things with Bushiroad sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, they finally made the promos box toppers instead of that stupid thing where you had to like buy six packs and then you got a promo.
Oh, right. And that's the best thing to come out of Vanguard, too.
I mean, yeah, promos nowadays cost maybe like $15 instead of $30.
Yeah. That's the best thing to come out of Vanguard. Okay, I'll stop doing that.
Yes. Objectively,
I don't know what happened this year. I don't even remember.
I'm going back and looking at the sets that came out.
Yeah, Lister Impact Dragon is a $2 promo. Sapient Owl is $5. The promo that lets Prison ride up is only $17, which. For like a mandatory four of for a deck that's decently good right now, that's not terrible.
Mm-hmm. The Magnolia one is way less, although you don't really use grade four Magnolia anymore. I quite liked Minerva Rising DVT08. Now that's like right on the cusp between 22 and 23.
That format fucking sucked.
I just kind of I like the nostalgia trip it was in, but that's me, I guess. Worst thing, I maybe not something in particular, but just the endemic problem of not doing something about the promo problem.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept letting it going on and on and on, despite people complaining, despite
The worst thing is easy, the fucking mask set.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. It was $70 with two masks in it. That shit.
Yeah.
Runner-up is the $150 premium battle set with Night Rose and Hari.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because there was the cheaper shit. One that was,
that
like
was this 60. Year?
Yeah. The I remember getting it like April or May, the smaller it one. Was
in May.
And they actually did that this year. That's crazy. Yeah. I forgot that was this year.
I
think this year was also just the Stride deck sets in jet. The Stride decks for premium. Or for standard, I mean.
Good or bad?
I would classify those as good. Like,
yeah, I think they're cool, actually.
Like $50 for a decently competitive deck out of the box is not terrible. Yeah. I think it's like a I would still consider it overpriced compared to like other card games, but like it's not the worst thing they've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I also think the like the decks they've made with Strider have been pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jet's cool.
I was like vaguely unsatisfied with the Messiah one, which I bought, and I just prefer playing it in premium. It's more interesting to me. And the Shiranui one's kind of cool, although that's technically next year for us.
Yeah.
But I'm vaguely interested, though at the same time I also have Drejeweled, so that's one of the big few, or whatever they're calling it. So.
Well, I think Drejeweled kind of fell off after the Stride decks came out.
Mm. Something tells me I should sell it then. You know, I don't really have a loyalty to it. It was just kind of cool looking
there.
Yeah. And Rubier gave me fucking Gangbusters cheap for most of the core of it. So always a good time.
Yeah, but my week has mostly been playing an old RPG series that I tried to play once before, but didn't get very far into it. But now I've been having a good time. Called Saga. I've been playing Saga Frontier, which is an old PS1 game that was remastered last year, I think. and put on everything imaginable, including phones. But it's really fun. It was really fun getting used to the mechanics, because it has very different JRPG mechanics. So you know how normally, like, you know, you have a team of characters and you level up and yada yada yada, right? Equip some stuff, cast some spells, what have you. This game, saga games work a bit differently. You don't really have levels. You gain stats by participating in combat. Sometimes those stats are influenced by what weapon you're using or what you're doing in combat. Sometimes it's not. and you can learn abilities just by, like, attacking long enough with, like, your weapon or whatever, which is neat. Which can sometimes have bad side effects of you learning a new ability at the wrong time.
Wait, if you learn a new ability at the wrong time.
Because when you what's it called? Glimmer. So, like, a little light bulb comes over your head and you use the new ability because you just learned it, right? You're like, oh, I can do this. And sometimes it's not a good idea.
Interesting.
Which is funny.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and game...
Also probably super annoying to a new player where they're like, what the fuck? I just learned a new thing and it's gone?
Well, no, you can like, once you learn it, you can use it forever.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But the games are usually quite punishing and have a lot of decision points. So that, like, basically, like, the game wants you to save a lot and, like, load deck saves and whatnot.
Gotcha.
But in Saga Frontier, there are 6 characters. I think you can start from the start. And, yeah, they all play their story, but you meet, like, the other ones throughout the story. Like, you're all in the same world, but you're, like, playing, like, their story. So the first character I played was a character named Red. His father gets killed by a mysterious organization, and he's saved by a hero named Al Carl. And in order to save Red's life, he turns Red into a hero. And then Red wants to defeat the organization that killed his father.
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes Al Kaiser. And that's the start of the Red story.
I just watched that Ghibli movie, Porco Rosso.
Yeah. It's a solid one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Saga Frontier, good game. Check it out if you haven't.
Saga Frontier.
I've been playing Romancing Saga Minstrel Song now, which is Romancing Saga 1. So I've been playing through that one so I can forget some of the things I know in Frontier. Because I basically explored everything, right?
Right.
So now I know a lot about the world of Frontier. So it's gonna make other routes, like, once I get at free access to the world, it's gonna make the other routes quite simple. And there's some characters who immediately start with access to the world, which is interesting.
I just finished the first draft of the pilot I've been working on.
Nice.
Woo. Cool. Now to show it to some writer friends I trust and have it absolutely torn to shreds and be sad there for a few days. And then work on it some more.
Yep.
That's the true writer experience.
It do be like that, don't it?
I've gone down the rabbit hole of researching microphones, even though I have no plans to replace my microphone, hopefully.
I don't get that. Like, is it just the equivalent of, like, porn? It's like,
what?
Like porn for microphones, where you're like, okay, I'm not going to experience this, but I'm going to pretend like I am.
Sure. Just like shopping for shit.
Window shopping?
Yeah.
Then there's me. I can't even decide what I would want to shop on.
I know, right? Yeah, my apartment is full of boxes since, like, September because of wedding stuff. And then in the next 2 weeks, it will be gone.
Yay.
And I will be married. Yay.
Look at you go.
Look at me go.
Trying to, like, figure out how to order shit off of the wedding registry is annoying. Well, it just takes you to the website, but then every website now needs you to, like, sign up for their website to check out. And I'm
that,
like,
is the worst. Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to buy you a fucking $50 cabinet. I don't need to make a Target account.
Yeah. No, that's the worst. And I'm sorry. Also,
okay, there's, like, a Best Buy not that far away from the hotel I'm staying at. I'll just buy you a last minute gift.
Go for it, I guess. I we wish you all a happy new year from us all at Nexus at Night.
True.
More is coming next year, especially after I finish getting married and can like not be down the rabbit hole of wedding planning every 8 seconds.
Yeah.
You could be wedding planning right now and you're not.
I could be. Yeah, I think once I'm done here, I'm going to go get in trouble. So that's fun. But thanks everybody for listening. Patreon.com/NexusAtNight. Darren Cole, Josh, Jeremy, GR, and Ali are $10 patrons. Follow us on Twitter, all the other stuff at Nexus at Night. How about the rest of us?
You can find me on Twitter at Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 Z's, like it says right there.
You can find me at Plasma Eclipse, which is nothing like what it says over here.
You can find me at Atlas Novak, which it does say over here.
We even have the at.
I do even have the at. The at list. Anyway, at Atlas Novak everywhere on all the socials. Or check out my other podcast, Generation Dan. Our newest episode this week was with Stephen Allen Green, who is a comedian who apparently had Sam Kinison crash on his couch in the 70s.
So, I have a follow-up question. Why didn't you not make your Twitter handle like the at Last Novak?
I thought about it, but because not everybody says the at, it just, you know. I made it after I was starting to be a comedian. And like, it's
you wanted to
people gotta search your name and stuff.
I understand.
Yeah. So there's that. Nope. That's pretty much it. At Generation Dan for my other podcast. And thanks everybody for listening. And until the new year, I was Atlas.
I'm still Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
And have a good night, everybody.